Hello, listeners. This is Lee Price.
This is Will Ford from Football 365.
And you're listening, smartly, to At the Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast, although I would describe it as the Chelsea FC podcast.
It's in a pocket of space. Anderson came and didn't get there. Chance for Chelsea. Goal for Chelsea. Kai Havertz in the Champions League final. And Chelsea take the lead in Porto.
It's time for another episode of At the Bridge Pod, your number one Chelsea FC podcast. Coming up on this episode,
we have a bumper news edition, Christopher Nkunku updates, Declan Rice, Mason Mount, there's so much going on. It's At the Bridge Pod and we're live.
Welcome back everyone to another episode of At the Bridge Pod. I'm joined in a virtual room filled with lions, some lions, Ollie and Berth. The World Cup has kicked off and I wrote down that I don't bloody care yet. USA are playing, so I care a bit. Bit of housekeeping. Whilst that tournament is going on, we will be bringing you a deep dive on the latest Chelsea news each Monday, so you stay in the know and we can talk more trash as usual, you know. But before the deep dive into some Chelsea news, because there is some, oh, there's some tasty ones. What were your highlights, guys, of the weekend?
What was my highlight of the weekend?
Mine was not the BBC intro for the World Cup. I hate it. It's awful. Ooh, I don't like it.
I've got a really good one. Took Brighton to the Champions League in two seasons on Football Manager. Oh. That's a big, big achievement. I've got a feeling that Ollie might eclipse that. Only by a tad, though.
I've got a feeling that Chelsea are going to poach you from that club in a bit.
Well, yeah, maybe. Absolutely.
Maybe. I'll take it if it comes to
I might have gotten engaged this weekend, just a little bit. But do you know what? Fair play to Berth. Brighton to Champions League in two seasons. I think that's the real achievement here.
Oh, please, Ollie, honestly. But to be fair, from one person who's been engaged to another, I can't say how nervous it is getting down on one knee. It is the most nervous thing I've ever done in my life. So respect to you and congratulations.
It was a bit nervy, but you know, it worked out well. You know, I'm pleased it went.
That's good. That's good.
I saw a marathon runner propose to his fiance. She said yes, but when he did it, he got cramp in his leg and he hit the deck.
He couldn't get up again.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was like, oh no, oh, it's the worst. Oh, it's brilliant. Right, with that note, it's time to head to the newsroom. So, first, an update on Christopher Nkunku. Friend of the show, Ben Jacobs, tweeted, "It's now confirmed by RB Leipzig that he has torn the LCL in his left knee whilst on international duty with France. He's expected to be out for 8 to 10 weeks. Nkunku has a pre-agreement with Chelsea for the summer of 2023. Does not stop other clubs making offers." He continued, "CFC hoping to finalise the deal as soon as possible, but a January transfer even before the injury was always challenging because of Nkunku and Leipzig's preference is not a mid-season move. Further discussions have been pushed until after the World Cup prior to Nkunku's injury." Heart goes out to that, to be fair. I mean, missing out on the World Cup is always going to suck, and we cannot pretend that this wouldn't impact any move from us. But
as someone who has also missed out on the World Cup, I'm devastated because I understand how he feels.
Well, there was another update today from LE10 Sport stating everything has been agreed and he'll be a Chelsea player on July 1st. I don't know what your thoughts on that whole story.
It's a weird one, really, isn't it? Because you never quite know what's going on. You never know the true story to it. I am gutted for him, to be fair, because he really has hit a hot streak at the minute. He's been really good for a good year or so now. And you hope it seems like a bit of a bad knee injury. So you do hope that he gets back and doesn't lose any of that sharpness. It'll be a great addition to us if we get him, whenever it is. No doubt Barcelona will come in from the last minute to steal him off us. But yeah.
You see, they all wanted to come in for Leao today.
Yeah, I did see that.
What money? You have no money. They have no money.
Offering, you know, like a packet of Quavers.
In 2027?
Yeah.
We'll pay you then.
They're paid in four installments, so you get about 6 Quavers per year.
What an ambitious packet of crisps. Right. I look, 3CB Performance, who break down the details on injuries within the sporting world, did give a full account of this injury. And they also followed us back on Twitter, which was really appreciative. We appreciated that. Right, the LCL, lateral collateral ligament. It's a major stabilizing ligament on the lateral, so the outside part of the knee, and primarily protects against the varus, which is the outward force. The LCL is rarely injured in isolation. Around only 2% of knee injuries are isolated injuries, with the most occurring with concurrent damage to other anatomy, like the posterior lateral corner, PLC. Nkunku's timeline would depend on the severity of the injury. Generally, a grade 1 LCL tear is around 4 to 6 weeks. Grade 2, 6 to 8. And a grade 3 rupture is 10 plus weeks. However, there's variance in each depending on full scope of structures impacted. Fair enough. This is such a hard one to deal with because he's a top, top talent and there's no doubts about that at all. However, signing an injured player for a high fee before he's come back is always a huge risk that I'm mindful of. That's just my opinion. I mean, we saw how Fofana had to go for an extensive medical check before Bowley rubber stamped that deal. And he was back playing after the leg break. I mean, if we do pursue this deal, which it seems to be tied up now, it would show great faith in Nkunku, which would surely make him want to join us more. I am torn on this because of the injury, but I'm sure he'll come back stronger than ever. But do you see where my fears lie?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this now. You've got to remember, like, for Fofana's injury, while it was bad, it was a leg break. And the way those heal is you know, they don't, like, you're back to full strength, really. And the problem is with a ligament injury specifically, especially in the knee, we've seen it with Loftus-Cheek. We've seen it with Hudson-Odoi, I think, you know, and now we've seen it with Chilwell as well. You know, like, sometimes players just aren't the same afterwards. And, you know, if you're then going to be signing a player and they're not the same, that's a real concern, because then what have you paid for?
Yeah, I'm the one who always advocates a transfer fee's not the stick to judge a player by, because they didn't choose the fee. It's whatever the club values them at to them. I value them as a... But we have to take in, that's going to be a big portion of whatever budget we have. What do you think, Berth?
I mean, I think it shows how desperate we are for a new attacker that we're still sort of going for him and we still want him. Because our attackers are just, let's be honest, bang average at the minute. It's a big risk, and it has soured on me a little bit. You never can tell, can you? Muscle injuries, cruciate ligaments, Achilles tendons.
It's one of those, isn't it? Like, if it works out for us, yeah, then we're geniuses, aren't we? We manage to see through it. And then if it doesn't, oh, then, you know, it's our Chelsea, you know, so stupid on the transfer window again. It's going to reflect. It's probably going to not reflect that well on us, regardless of what happens.
But the thing is, as well, you look at some of the players we've got in the past that have had, like, these sorts of injuries. Look at Torres, for instance. Obviously, he had a lot of knee injuries, a lot of muscle injuries. Come to us and was a shell of a former player. Now, I'm not saying Nkunku was on,
after a World Cup as well.
Yeah, is on, you know, Torres' level. Of course, he isn't. But you do worry, especially when you're Chelsea, because Chelsea just seems to be jinxed when it comes to attacking players. So. It's a big worry, but we'll wait and see, I suppose.
Right. Moving on to the news that two transfer targets emerged over the weekend. The first concerns Memphis Depay. The report from Diario AS via Sports Witness claimed that Chelsea were already interested in Memphis in the summer. That is true. We know that. But while he refused to leave Barcelona back then, he'd be open to doing so now, especially as Chelsea can offer Champions League football whilst Barcelona can't. Funny. That said, the report makes no claim as to whether Chelsea would be at all interested in rekindling our original interest. The fee stated is €5 million, but the inherent assumption is that we would be interested. I mean, that seems like a very bold assumption. His contract runs out, I believe, in the summer. So €5 million is what it is for a contract-ending player, I guess. And then the other piece of transfer news concerned Aston Villa forward Leon Bailey, which, according to the Daily Mail, we're weighing up a move for him in January as a replacement for Pulisic, potentially.
We're not going to talk about our perennial interest in Jordan Pickford.
Oh, we'll get to that. Don't you worry. We're getting to that. This is such a I mean, first of all, I don't know why we like to look at injured players, all of us. Injury-prone players, we'll have you. Woo-hoo! I mean, Jack Wilshere's probably getting warmed up out of retirement to join at the rate we're going. I mean, considering Pulisic still has roughly 18 months left on his current deal, that, you know, there's been endless speculation about his departure for the past year. And we don't know of any discussion whatsoever about him renewing that deal, which I guess isn't surprising given that he hasn't been able to secure a starting position for the past two seasons at the club. And then I look at Villa. I mean, they've struggled, but he's been in decent form this year after the injury-filled debut campaign for Villa. You know, he's contributed 3 goals in 11. I mean,
that is not good.
They're not particularly outstanding figures. You're
that
right.
That is Chelsea form.
But still, the whole of this, that Leon Bailey link, it's just so out of nowhere, John Cena style for me. It really is. I'm like, where did that
John
come
Cena,
from?
John Cena, friend of the show.
Well, can't see him. But what I can see is, what are we doing? What are we doing here? I don't get it. I know it's speculation, but what do you think on those two, potentially? I like Memphis.
I do as well, but he didn't push for a move in the summer, you know. Like, and now it seems like he would only really want to join us because of Champions League football. And you know, like, if that's all you're going to be here for, you're probably not going to really fight for the badge. You may as well get bent, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, I think when it comes to Depay, I think this is the trouble with all the Chelsea attackers. I think Depay in English football, technically a very gifted player, but very inconsistent. And you know what? Same can be said for Leon Bailey as well. He's technically very good, but injuries and just end product lets him down a bit. So both very good technically, but just way too inconsistent at the moment. We need consistency. We need someone who can get goals, creativity. And I don't think those two are the answer, especially Depay. I don't think he's as creative as Bailey. But again,
the thing is, Depay, though, is he does fit that kind of Potter sort of shadow striker that he likes to play, like a more pie.
Yeah, he's quite versatile, isn't he?
Yeah, and if you're looking to play like a fluid front three, he's good for that. But
I don't know.
I
love the fact that if we sign him, we can put on our blue suede shoes and just sing "Walking in Memphis." It's just so feel good. I'm all for it. I really am.
I can't wait.
Right. We'll cut to the story that Ollie teased earlier. Fabrizio Romano confirmed Chelsea's interest in Jordan Pickford, stating he's one of the goalkeepers Chelsea are monitoring at the moment. Not the only one, but nothing is advanced or concrete yet. We record this after Senegal lost 2-0 to the Netherlands. Koulibaly was brilliant. Mendy, oh my word. I mean, I feel for him. I do, because he was the... what. Performance in that Champions League campaign for us. However, it kind of feels like that was a very good patch of form, and he's now reverting back to his actual ability, which isn't top four, top
what
six.
Ability?
It's not. It doesn't
that,
look
that,
good.
That game today against Senegal, I did watch it, and you know, the two goals that happened, like the first one, you know, from Gakpo, you can argue what you want about, you know, it's a good run from Gakpo and a decent header, but there's no way Mendy should be coming out for that, you know. And then the second one, oh my goodness, the way he just... And the same thing happened against, I think it was against Man City in the Cup, where, you know, it was a reasonably tame shot, straight, not just like slightly to the side of him. He gets down and pushes it straight into the path of the oncoming attacker. Mm. I have no idea what he's doing, you know, like... And oh my god, you know,
it was the
worst goalkeeping performance I've seen in a while.
If he could take back that contract offer when he said he wanted, well, his agent, whether it's Mendy, we don't know, but you'd assume he'd at least have some say in his wage. It's hindsight. It's just that deal is never getting signed. It's never being offered. Kepa's took the starting spot, obviously injured before the World Cup, so he obviously. Mendy came in. I just think he'll go down as almost a cult hero because of that Champions League campaign. We will never forget that. It was outstanding. But I don't see him as long-term for Chelsea. What do you think, Berth?
I don't think Mendy was ever really long-term for Chelsea anyway. Obviously, he came in and I think he exceeded people's expectations. That Champions League campaign, he was incredible. And that game against Brentford was one of the best keeping performances I've ever seen. it looks to me like his confidence has completely gone. And I think Mendy is one of those players that sort of, he plays well when his confidence is up. So he needs a few saves to sort of
keepers get him going. That.
Yeah, well, you say that, but I don't think Kepa is. I think Kepa is always backs himself, and whether he makes a mistake or not, he'll always back himself. Whereas I don't think Mendy does. Like, you look at his body language, I actually think it sort of, he almost looks like he doesn't have the confidence. And like the keeping today, I think the second one especially was really, really poor. And he doesn't look a shadow of his former self. I think if you're looking at Pickford, I actually think that's a really good buy. And I know that won't be everyone's cup of tea, and I get that. But I think Jordan Pickford is incredible with his feet. I think he's a really good leader. I think that gets overlooked with him. I think he's a fantastic leader. And I think his shot, excuse me, I think his shot stopping has got a lot better recently. I don't think there's been many games he's made a mistake.
The thing I don't like about Pickford, and this is, you know, maybe I'm biased or something here, but because I hate the idea of this deal, I really do. And the reason is because Pickford always just has like a big bozo kind of moment in him. And you need your goalies to not be manic, and you need a safe pair of hands. And I don't feel like you get that with Pickford in goal. It seems maybe you get it for England. I don't know, but you certainly, like, you know,
but
where he's been in the last little few years has been really poor.
Equally though, you look at our two keepers now, they've got it in them. You know, I think modern day keepers, everyone says play out from the back, but every modern day keeper throughout the league has a mistake in them these days. It's just part and parcel of the game almost.
Mm.
And I think Pickford, if you're comparing him to Mendy and comparing him to Kepa, I think he's probably made less mistakes than both of them over the past year or so. Mm. I think anyway.
I don't think that should be the benchmark.
No, it shouldn't. No, yeah. It shouldn't be. But I think he's a good keeper. I do think he's a good keeper.
I've kind of warmed to the idea because he would bring that passion. He'd bring that vocal characteristic. He'd probably bring a bit of shithousery, which, you know, we definitely sort of need in our side. We haven't had that since the David Luiz days. I mean, for David Luiz and Diego Costa in the same team, you just knew we were going to bring the drama. We really did. Right. Monday hot take. This is our new segment we introduced to the Monday show last week, where each Monday we're going to judge and rate an opinion said by either one of us four, a pundit, a player, a manager, or even a fan. Then judge it if it's as hot as the Carolina Reaper pepper or a complete load of bollocks. Now, this week, former Perth Glory defender William Gallas decided to share. To share this beautiful.
A two-time traitor, William Gallas.
Well, he has played for obviously Spurs, Arsenal, and ourselves. And I did see someone question going, has anyone else ever done that? And I just, there was not just me thinking this. Willian had a medical with all three. So he's close enough. You know, he definitely had a medical for Spurs. Didn't play for them.
But then he joined Fulham in the end, the superior club.
Yeah, exactly. Right, William Gallas. He said, Wesley Fofana is injured, but we all knew about his injury record. I don't know what they are getting from Mark Cucurella, who was signed for 60 million. He doesn't play for Spain. He isn't in the Chelsea starting 11. 60 million. Wow. Chelsea also signed Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. He doesn't look good. He did nothing against Arsenal and was on the bench against Newcastle. I mean, if I didn't know any better, I'd say he must have played for Spurs and Arsenal and just truly hated our club.
Well, the thing is, I think he's just jealous because Gallas, even if he was at the peak of his performance playing in today's climate, he'd be worth about £2.50 in a packet of crisps.
He used to be a good defender for us. I'm not going
to
pretend
he
wasn't.
Yeah, he used to be a very good defender.
We still don't know about that own goals quote, if it's true or not. There was much back and forth if that was total rubbish. But, I mean, wow. The whole of that statement. I love how it was sent to a Genting casino. I don't know what that's an outlet now. I was like, okay. I found that completely incorrect. I do. Wesley Fofana can't help that he's injured. That's a bit unfair. And that's nothing to do with his injury record. It just was, you know, what it was on the game. Cucurella, yeah, he doesn't play for Spain, but so?
Neither does Gallas.
Well, that's true. That is very true. You know, yeah. I mean, we got Aubameyang quite cheap. he scored a fair few decent goals, so I don't know why he's been saying he doesn't look good.
No, I think he is right on that. Aubameyang hasn't looked that good recently. He's been quite poor.
I just don't rate this opinion. I don't.
No, well, I don't rate the man in general. But so you know, I'm far less likely to rate what he says, because I think most of what he says is nonsense, really. But that's I think that's largely a problem with when you just drag out any former player and make them a pundit, or make, you know, or stick a microphone in front of them and see what they say. You know, you know, it's like if you were going to do the same with you or me or anyone else. I know this is a funny thing to say on a podcast that you do every week. But, you know, if you put a microphone in front of somebody's face, eventually they're going to say something stupid, you know. And
episode
we know
one.
And
for some people, that's more common than others.
My N'Golo Kante sail him to Inter Milan for 100 million. Hey, we wouldn't have a Champions League, but we'd have 100 million and we would have spent it terribly. But that's not what we're talking about. Berth, what do you think about this whole hot take?
No, I think the way he said it is awful, really. Wesley Fofana is a fantastic defender and he's had a few injuries, but I don't think that's a waste of money or anything like that. I think he'd be a great defender for us. Cucurella, look, 60 million these days, it's like what 15 million was like 10 years ago. It's almost like the
30
normal.
Million was 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's the norm these days. And yeah, he doesn't play for Spain, but neither does De Gea, neither does Sergio Ramos, neither does Kepa, you know. So those players don't play for Spain. And as far as what was Yvonne Aubameyang, yeah, look, Aubameyang has been hit and miss really, but he's 33. We've got him for like not much at all. So Gallus can just shut up. He wore the number 10 shirt. He wore the number 10 shirt at centre back. So at the minute, his opinion.
That's how
is
you
irrelevant.
Know he was a wrong one.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, exactly.
Right, we're going to cut. We actually have time to cut to questions.
Oh wow, love that! What a treat! What a
treat!
Yeah. What a day.
Hey, that's what you listeners. That's what you get when you know when Chelsea aren't playing. Is actually we actually get to engage with you guys.
Exactly. So cue those titles.
Any questions? Ask the bridge.
Right, Rodrigo Jardim said, "What to do if Mason Mount does not renew?" What impact, not only on the pitch, but off, mentality, identification, etc., would that have an impact on us? Which name as well do you like the most to replace him? That's very good on after today's England game. I mean, I did read that Emmanuel Petit said in the last few days that we already have a better replacement in Nkunku. And he has a point. I mean,
Emmanuel Petit is going to say that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, look to me, out of Mount and Reece, I wanted Reece to sign a long-term deal sooner because I personally believe he's more important to our side than Mount is. And I'd argue that Reece is not replaceable, whilst Mount could be. I'm not saying I don't want Mount to sign, but I feel that.
Oh, my
two,
God, Mikey, you hate Mount.
Mount out. No. I mean, Mount played good as an eight for a Southgate today. So 4-2-3-1, anyone?
I mean, I've gone on this podcast and I do love Mason Mount. I just love him. I'll probably cry myself to sleep if he doesn't sign a contract. But look, it's part and parcel of the game. If he doesn't sign it, he doesn't sign it. I'm glad we got Reece. I think at the minute, Reece looks a better prospect and Reece is just, well, world-class really. And I don't think Mason Mount is at the moment. Definitely could be. And he's shown that he can be.
I think there's a lot, sorry, Berth, you keep going.
I think as far as a replacement goes, I love James Maddison. I think James Maddison is fantastic. I think James Maddison is very, very creative, and a lot of people have doubted Mason Mount's creating ability. I think that is wrong, but Maddison probably is the more creative of the two. So I think if he was to get rid of Mount or he was to leave, I think James Maddison would be an incredible replacement for him.
I mean, I second that on Maddison. I really do. The thing I want to say as well is I think a lot of people treat Mount like he's Chelsea's talisman. Like he's Chelsea's main man, and he isn't. Mm. He just isn't. Like, you know, he might have been a couple seasons ago, but Reece James has actually moved on more in his game, I think, since Mount has. I would say Reece James is now the talisman for Chelsea, not Mason Mount. And the thing is you know, like Berth said, he doesn't sign. Chelsea existed after Mount, before Mount, and it'll exist after him as well.
Yeah. I mean, Mason Mount's first half stats against Iran in the World Cup. 100% dribbles completed, 2 of 2. 100% tackles won, 1 of 1. 100% of duels won, 7 of 7. 100% long passes completed, 3 of 3. a chance creation, 4 recoveries, and 4 fouls won, the most.
I ran. Yes, he did.
he works in a 8. And we hear Potter's change in the formation, so maybe Potter will copy the... I mean, whilst Reece James is out, I am sick of seeing 3 at the back. It doesn't work without Reece James. Simple. Do you want to see Azpilicueta at right wing back? No. That's not his best position. It doesn't work anymore.
Well, no, it doesn't.
You're totally right. You know, like, I think if we want to move forward as a club, we've got to go away from this... from this 3 at the back, because it worked for a while as being like a practical solution to a lot of our players' limits, you know, limited sets of abilities. And it still does to a certain degree when everyone's fit, but everyone's not fit. Yeah. And nobody's been fit for about 2 seasons. So, but you know, it's nice to see as well Potter wanting to put a stamp, like his own stamp on this team. And, you know, rather than just continue it, because that's a thing, you know, we've been saying about Potter is, we want to see some bolder ideas. And 4 at the back, you know, changing from this like practical 3 at the back we've seen under Tuchel and Conte and everyone else over the last however many seasons we've had it implemented in. It's actually quite a nice, it's going to be a nice change of pace.
Yeah. We'll wait and see on the contract stuff. So with that, I want to say thank you for listening to this episode. And hey, listeners, we always go with the positivity, so I hope you are treating yourself well with that respect, because you're a legend and you do deserve that happiness and positivity in your life. And we're going to keep channeling that. We have come to the end of another episode of At The Bridge Pod, and we will be back on Friday with a topic. What it will be, that's a surprise, because I don't actually know yet. Not a clue. Anyone?
Nice. We'll work it out in the week.
We'll work it out in the week.
Or we won't.
We'll just wing it. We'll wing it. We like to do that. We'll wing it.
We'll wing it, of course.
We'll have a chaos episode. It's fine.
Chaos.
Yeah.
Love it.
Dude, let's just brainstorm on the episode. Let's just start.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. No script. Oh,
I'll introduce you to my slam poetry.
Oh, wow.
Just pure improv. Pure improv will be amazing.
On that is us signing off. You've been listening to At The Bridge Pod, a Chelsea FC podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram by searching for At The Bridge Pod. And if you're listening on Apple or Spotify, leaving us a review is always appreciated.